what level of debt would you be comfortable with?
Well, I think we've made a lot of progress with this wind sale, and we've gone from a little bit over 7x EBITDA to a little bit under 6x EBITDA. So that's a good movement. I think in the private equity industry, you used to run about 4x, which was kind of the norm. And then during just before the bubble burst, it got up to 6 or 7x. And then after the bubble burst, it got down to 3. And so 4 has been kind of considered a normal, not very aggressive level. We're not going to get there anytime soon. We're going to keep working at these cash sweeps. I kind of look at these cash sweeps and the paying off the debt that Terry talked about in addition to the wind sale, as we have a mortgage on our house and we're doubling up the principal payments and paying down the mortgage and getting more equity for everybody. So I don't have a specific number. I think 5.8 is better than 7, but we still have work to do.
These acquisitions that you might make, will these be out of, some might be out of the territory that you now serve?
No, we're in North America, and right now that's just the U.S. and Canada, and I think we're happy with U.S. and Canada, so I wouldn't expect we're going to go outside of that area.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Paul Durden from Burlington.
Hi.
Okay, so when you cut the dividend in 2013, that's when the stock went off a cliff. Is that right?
I think that's right. I joined in January, so I'm not perfect on the history, but that sounds about right.
Why are you getting rid of the wind power stuff when that's the wave of the future?
Well, it's a good question. And it's a wave of the future. They're very popular assets, and solar is very popular. And so with our fleet of assets, we had too much debt, and we had to figure out how can we pay down that debt. And the wind assets were sold at nearly 14x cash flow. If you try to sell a merchant gas plant, or in some areas you might get 4 or 5x. So we went for the biggest bang for our buck. Now, the flip side of them being very popular assets or the wave of the future is they have PPAs on them. So once you put a long-term PPA on a wind asset, you've basically created a bond. And so there's no intrinsic growth from that particular project. We can always go back and do more wind deals when the market changes. Like I said, in 2008, the value of wind projects was cut in half in a matter of months. And so if that happens, we'll be out looking to buy wind projects or develop wind projects.
Okay, next question. When you look at your coal plants, some of these older coal plants are hardly clean, and some of them can be upgraded with scrubbers, and then the more modern coal plants, of course, are a whole lot cleaner. How do you fit into that picture? And also, the environmental lobby, is it a problem for your company? What are they calling for?
Yeah, that's a good question. The coal plant that we have a minority interest. We have one coal plant, minority interest, so it's really not a big part of our fleet. Our plant is well scrubbed. It's environmentally clean. It's a good plant, and so we're happy holding it. It's efficient. It's got a good heat rate, so it generates a good ratio of power to fuel. It's located in a good position on the grid, so we're happy with that plant. Coal is really challenged. You know, in the U.S., the EPA is coming out with carbon standards. I think it's 20 or 25% of the coal plant's going to be retired over a few years. Older plant, less efficient plant, plant that's not fully scrubbed. So that's certainly not a growth area. And if anything, the coal fleet's going to shrink over the next 2, 3, 4 years. That actually helps us a bit, though, because as you take some of those coal plants out, we have the one coal plant, but the rest of our fleet, the other 22 plants, are not coal. And so as some of those coal plants are forced off for environmental reasons, supply and demand comes into our benefit a little bit, and we should see a little uplift in prices from that activity.
Okay. Is there a possibility of selling some assets to regulated power companies at the right price?
Sure. Yeah, we looked at that. We looked at most of our assets, selling them. We talked to regulated utilities about some of our assets. We spent, well, they had started before I showed up, but as soon as I showed up, job A was, what are we doing about selling assets? And I think we looked at just about every asset and had discussions on just about every asset. And the best combination for us was to sell the wind projects based on price relative to the cash flow we were giving up.
Okay, who's buying the wind projects?
TerraForm.
It's just a private company, is it?
They're public. They're traded publicly, but it's what's called a yield co, one of these new high yield companies that are taking assets in and then they're paying out a pretty high dividend and they have a low cost of capital. I think they're related to Sun Edison, and they've been an aggressive buyer for wind projects.
Thank
anybody,
you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
What was your cost of the wind project, and how much did you receive for it?
Do you know the capital gain on that?
I think that, I don't know if we've said that publicly yet, but it's a large capital gain. We're expecting proceeds of $350 million, which we've talked about publicly. So it's there's a lot. Yes.
Money on the deal.
Yes, we did.
Good.
Well, we're paying down the debt and strengthening the balance sheet, which to me as a shareholder, that's a good thing. And then at the same time, we've been paying out $12 million in dividends relative to a $0 to $20 million free cash flow. So I think we've got a pretty good balance on trying to protect the balance sheet and still send money back to the shareholders.
Could you speak to the role of the pref shares in your capital structure? The relative cost versus the flexibility that they hold and whether or not there's going to be any changes there?
Terry, you want to do that one?
Sure. Well, I think, as you know, we've been focusing on debt reduction. The when we look at the preferred shares, they trade on the TSX at a significant discount. So from a math perspective, they're pretty attractive from anyone on the outside that would buy them for yield purposes. But as far as our focus right now, it's on debt reduction. The preferred isn't considered debt, so we don't have any plans for the preferred at this moment in time. They're there, and we're paying the dividend as agreed, and we'll continue to do so. Looking forward is our plan.
Question, but more just on the capital structure with the APLP and so on. Is there an opportunity at some point to consolidate the entities, and would that be give you more financial flexibility, and would that gain favor with the credit rating agencies? I think the credit rating upgrade would really help your cost of capital, which would obviously benefit all shareholders.
Well, I think I would agree that a credit rating upgrade would help everyone and help us from a cost of capital standpoint. We are looking at the entire structure of the company to see if there's a way to make it more efficient. Part of that is doing what we're doing with the debt, and part of it may be, looking at the legal structure. But right now we haven't made any changes, but it's something that we look at fairly regularly to try and wring some more efficiencies out.
Would you have to get approval from the preferred shareholders to make any changes to that?
It depends. The preferred shareholders are at APLP, and they receive a dividend, and they must receive that dividend before any distributions can go out to the rest of the company, either the parent APC or APT and APG. So that would certainly be a consideration as we look at the structure.
Any other questions? Well, thanks for coming. And we appreciate your support and your investment. Thank you.